Welcome everyone, we're about to begin Hashem BPW share number 121. Spice Panini for Women, share number 121. The previous share we discussed lagging libido, that it's very likely at some point, and really at every point in a marriage, that a husband and wife will experience differences in their desire for sex. And it's a normal occurrence. And the best way to address it is with an acceptance, but also with a personal commitment. And this part of this book is to really help you come to the conclusion and realize that the sexual aspects in the marriage is extremely important. The romantic, not what the culture calls romantic, but the spark is extremely important. And yes, a high drive person needs to know how to regulate it and develop the emotional, spiritual side of it too, not just the physical side, and need to be understanding of the other one that's less interested naturally. But at the same time, the lower level one needs to really have a personal commitment to get past that slump and to learn how to enjoy the intimate relationship so that it could be consistent and ongoing and enjoyable. And it and like we said at the end of the last year, Michelle Wiener Davis wrote many books on this. She was talking to women, but you have low libido men as well. The advice would apply the same thing to them, that you could be that initially you weren't in the mood, or initially there was no interest, but you, because of the relationship, you do your best to be forthcoming with it, learn skills and tools of how to get yourself to that place. And then once I started, they all say, they really, really enjoyed it. They really enjoyed the connection. They enjoyed the actual sexual experience itself very, very much. It's just harder to get into, but it's worth the effort. So the idea is to avoid the warfare and the constant war is to have that acceptance of the other person. No one's trying to be mean and no one's trying to be a pig. It's just differences between two people. And not to have that unhealthy war or warfare there, but rather to have an understanding of each other's natures and working with it. What do I want, but what does he or she want? What's the best for us together? What is the best for us? For the higher level person, it is that I can't expect to have sex every single night. And that there's times where my husband or my wife needs that space and I need to give it to them. And to pull back sometimes from that physical as best as I could. And the lower one, the lower level one says, I need to work for the relationship to be more forthcoming and learn how to enjoy it more and make the most of it. You see, you don't like, probably you don't like paying your monthly bills either. But when you do that, and in the long run, it's best for you because you get a high credit rating, you have peace of mind. You don't like cleaning up clutter. But when you do, it's enjoyable and worthwhile and lasting. The same thing with a satisfying sex life. That should be an ultimate goal, whether you're inclined to be interested in it or whether you're not so inclined to be interested in it. The entire life values that, a consistent, satisfying sex life between the two within a normal, healthy reason, as we said, which could be relative, but there is a standard type of norm. And to be honest about it and work towards it. Work on sexual health. It is good. It is healthy. It stimulates the heart. It increases blood flow throughout the body, fosters greater strength, flexibility, stamina. It makes you feel young. It makes you feel alive. The loving sexual contact elevates moods, creates endorphins, reduces tension, makes your body more relaxed. You feel more connected to your husband. When you share that joy of the sexual experience, the hormone that triggers orgasm is oxytocin and the snuggle chemical. All this, it's released also when mothers breastfeed, causing her to bond with her infant. The same effect is on two people when they have sex. The release of that chemical at the point of orgasm causes a bonding with one's husband. It can even be so powerful, these emotions, that it can move a person to tears. It could be healing. It could heal emotional wounds as well. So it's very important to have a positive attitude towards sex, which is very difficult to do if you are taught in certain ways of how, quote-unquote, schmutz it is. So it's hard to undo that sometimes. The brain is the greatest sex organ. The attitude you have towards it is important. And in a marriage relationship, it needs to be a positive one. Not burdened by guilt, not burdened by disgust, not burdened by disdain, not burdened by thinking that this is just representative of my lower half or my lower self, that I'm not my full human being, I'm not my full neshama when I feel sexual, which is total nonsense. How you feel about yourself, how you feel about your lovemaking, how you feel about everything has an impact on the relationship. To feel good about yourself, that you deserve this personally, you deserve to enjoy it personally, and enjoy the experience, and to be fulfilled with by it physically, emotionally, and spiritually. To improve your attitude over it. Sometimes a whole high libido person may have an overinflated view of sex. One-dimensional sometimes, or too much focus on it, not focusing enough on the emotional or spiritual elements of it, and that's their work. The high-level dry person has a lot of their work. It's very difficult to be in that state, to be such in that mode. Very, very difficult in a marriage. Both sides are difficult. It is difficult for the lower libido one that feels funny or awkward or sad or upset about themselves of how come I don't feel different, or the detachment and the disinterest is also damaging, and it's hurtful when they're told that they're, you know, that they don't feel or whatever it is. It's very hurtful. It's difficult. Both sets are difficult. The one that has the low drive, it's very difficult for them. One that has the high drive, it's extremely difficult for them as well. And you need to work with each other on it. But the sex has to be a priority. Whether you're low or high, and the low libido, the ones that aren't really that interested, they need to make sex a priority. I know people don't like to hear that if they're not interested in it. But you need time for it. You have to create private moments for it. You have to advocate for your own sexual needs and develop it. You have to work on, in the right time, of course, with a husband in those times. And he needs to work with you too, do it the right way. The necessary foreplay to become sexually aroused. Paying attention, giving, receiving in a healthy way. Receiving, lakabel, doesn't mean taking, it means receiving. It's a different thing. And the low desire doesn't reflect on your relationship. It could be so many causes. Could be hormone levels, simple as that. Simple hormone levels, which you have blame and shame, or your husband or may look down at you for having that lower desire. And it could be simply physical. And the blame and shame accentuates the lower libido. Therefore, it's important to understand it. Sometimes antidepressants could cause a lower sexual desire and responsiveness. To be prepared for that, know how to handle it. Sometimes anti-ulcer drugs interfere with testosterone and causes libido or erection difficulty. Sometimes prostate shrinkers lower the level of testosterone in some men. Some forms of birth control pills can lower sexual desire. Antihistamines can constrict the arteries and block the flow of erections and lubrications. Sleeping pills can interfere with deep sleep, in which sexual rejuvenation, nocturnal erections occur. You have so many things that could affect it. You need to be aware of it if you have to take various types of medication and work through it. Sometimes it's an interaction of different drugs. Alcohol could inhibit sexual pleasure. People think you're on a high and you get like rowdy and you party. That's a short-term thing, but over but it really inhibits it. Drugs inhibit sexual pleasure. Smoking inhibits sexual pleasure. You know, slower sexual desire can be the early symptoms of disease sometimes, of diabetes, of arteriosclerosis, and so on and so forth. You had interesting, there's a talk show host, Dennis Prager, he said this is fascinating. He remembers in his 20s finding this very, very interesting. And this is important to note, to get into context of people and what it is. He said that the people in their 20s were talking to each other. You know, they were interested in having a good time. They were boys, interested in having sexual experiences. And one of them told the other, says, you know something? To have sex is whatever. It's fun. But you should have it when you're taking weed. Then you're really, really on a high. Then you're like in heaven. And he thought to himself, how pathetic. Like sex itself is not enough. That you need the weed on top of that. In other words, we have a natural, normal, healthy feeling towards it that Hashem put in us. And you don't need these extra things that to have it, to enjoy it. You have to just learn how to use it the right way. But the good part is that over 98% of all sexual problems are treatable. On the physical level and on the emotional level. Baruch Hashem, that's the case. Especially in our generation. There are solutions. So there's no reason why a couple should suffer needlessly when it comes to these areas. You know, we talked about this in a lot of shiurim. Why? Because it is a key to many types of problems when it's not resolved. And it's the key to a lot of healing when it is resolved and worked through. We were reviewing at the time of the recording. I was doing the recordings. I don't know if it came out yet. Probably did. Being that bias in the main Shalom bias groups. And that's purely based on Torah sources. And he has connections with Gedolei Yisrael. And in that book, and I've heard it with other books and other places, people are experts in Shalom bias ideas of these big tzaddikim that people came to them with different problems, marriage problems, and come out all the time. It seems like they're upset, this and that and the other thing, but a lot of it, the panemius of it, although they don't talk about it, is their lack of understanding and difficulties they have in adapting to their private bedroom intimate life. That is the shirish of many problems that come out in big ways when really it's something that is workable and can be dealt with and can be harmonized and healed if it's talked about in the right context. And that creates a certain healing and acceptance that spreads forth to the rest of the relationship. Of course it goes both ways. We said this many times. You can't just focus on the bedroom aspects without and ignore the rest of the relationship. But it goes hand in hand. You can't ignore either one of them. And very often, these misunderstandings that happen regarding the sex drive, regarding the bedroom area, creates tension, unnecessary tension and hurt feelings. When educated and working with each other towards it, it could be tremendously healing and very encouraged to explore it and to do your best to maximize that experience to make it a consistent part of your married life. And if it lagged, to allow it to resurface and to make it stronger than ever, no matter what the age is and no matter how long you are married. Bracha v'atzlacha.